the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Radio.
Wake up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Father Chris from the Louisiana Priest Convention. Good morning, Father Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. It's good to be here. From Damian Collado in our Battered Studio. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. What an exciting few days ahead for the priests in the diocese, or in the state of Louisiana.
Yeah.
Keeping them in prayer this week as they are together for some fellowship and growing and all kind of wonderful things that are in store for them. We're going to start this morning in prayer. Today, it's the Feast of the Korean Martyrs. So we will start with prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who have been pleased to increase your adopted children in all the world, and who made the blood of the martyrs, St. Andrew Kim Tai Gun, Paul Chow Ha-sung, and their companions, a most fruitful seed of Christians, grant that they may be defended by their help and profit always from their example. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saints Andrew Kim Tai Gun, Paul Chow Ha-sung, and companions, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have a great show for you today, starting off with he's a chief operating officer for Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And today we're going to be getting there, Jay, and you guys, they have a lot going on. So Deacon Martin will be joining us in about 6 minutes. Richard Meek from the Catholic Commentator, he's the editor of the Catholic Commentator, and he'll give us an update of what you'll find in this week's issue in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. In 35 minutes, Father Paul Groh joins us. He's a parochial vicar at St. Margaret, Queen of Scotland in Albany. And today he's going to talk about Eucharistic devotion. And in 48 minutes, Father Chris Decker joins me. And Father Chris, pastor at St. Mary's of Falls River New Roads, technology coordinator for the Louisiana Priest Convention. We're going to be talking about the day ahead for the priests, because I looked at the schedule this morning, and you got some great speakers.
Yeah.
So looking forward to these. Some of them we've actually had on Wake Up before. So I'm really excited to actually meet them in person and talk about them. So day is like ahead. So we'll get to that in just a few moments. But Damian, I know that the weather always is looking forward to report.
Plenty of sunshine everywhere in Louisiana, and that's great. However, we also have hot and humid conditions. Humidity is hovering close to 90%, which is causing the heat to really impact us. 94 is expected high today. Low should be around 70. This trend will continue as we have plenty of clear skies throughout the week. No real chance of rain. And temperatures will actually continue to rise throughout the week. In fact, the first day of fall, which is Thursday, the high is expected to be 98. Welcome fall. All right. With that being said, temperatures in and around the area. New Orleans, where the priests are gathered, it's 78 degrees, so it's warming up quickly there. Elsewhere, though, Covington across the lake, it's 68. In Biloxi, it's 69. Home of Thibodeau, 71. And in Baton Rouge, capital city, it's 72 degrees. So get out there and enjoy it if you can handle the heat.
A little toasty.
Can't stand the heat, stay inside in the air conditioning.
That's right.
Where it's a comfortable 72, hopefully always. With that, we are going to be right back with the gospel and also Deacon Martin Gutierrez. And so don't go too far. Five after on Wake Up.
Today's gospel comes to us from Luke chapter 8.
The mother of Jesus and his brothers came to him, but were unable to join him because of the crowd. He was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, and they wish to see you." He said to them in reply, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it."
It is 7:08 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Deacon Martin Gutierrez is our first guest today. He's a chief operating officer for Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And today he joins us to give us an update of what is happening this month. Good morning, Deacon Martin. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Gabby. It's great to be with you.
It's great to have you with us, and we are so excited because it is Hispanic and Latino Heritage Month, and earlier this month, we actually talked to Father Sergio Serrano to kick it off, but Catholic Charities is also celebrating as well, so give us details about that.
Yeah, well, you know, working with immigrants, refugees, but especially the ones that come from Latin American countries and our local Hispanic community, it's something that we celebrate and we honor and we do every single day of the year, but especially during this time of the year between September 15th and October 15th. It's obviously a special time. We recognize the contribution and the work that's been done by many of our brothers and sisters from the Latino community. And obviously it's something special for me personally, having come from Nicaragua now over 43 years ago.
Well, tell us a little bit about your story and the melting pot of cultures that we see in New Orleans.
Sure. Briefly, I came here when I was 14 years old on a 2, maybe 3 weeks vacation that literally has extended now, like I said, over 43 years. We went from being tourists to asylees. We needed to apply for asylum, just like many of the tens of thousands of immigrants that we see nowadays in the news. And you know, there was a socialist communist revolution in Nicaragua. We couldn't go back, so we ended up staying. And thank God, you know, the United States embraced us and gave us the opportunity to, you know, live out our lives here in the U.S., just like my wife did. She came from Cuba when she was a young girl, and about 8. And together, you know, we have adopted the great values of the United States and also incorporated and integrated the values of our own native culture. And I think we've done okay. I have 3 adult kids. Martin is works for Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office. Father Andrew Gutierrez is assigned at St. Catherine. Mm-hmm. And Jasmine works as a counselor with the Catholic Counseling Program within the Archdiocese. So life has been good. And, you know, we work very hard. The Catholic Church works very hard every day to try to, you know, fix the big mess we have with the immigration system in our country. And unfortunately, a lot of things need to be repaired in that system.
Absolutely. To also talk about the many programs that you have English as a second language and citizenship classes. And as always, you need volunteers for both of these.
We do. And our ESL classes, our English as a second classes, never cease to amaze me. I recently had a meeting with the coordinator a couple of days ago. I think it was Friday or Thursday. And she told me that we already have about 750 adult learners enrolled in our ESL classes. This semester, we're going to do it virtually. We're going to do it virtually, and all of our classes are taught by volunteers. We have a very small staff that supports the volunteers, but we do need volunteers both in person and virtually, and they can contact and enroll in these opportunities by visiting our website, which is ccano.volunteerhub.com.
Great. Wonderful. Let's talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow is World Alzheimer's Day, and it's a busy day tomorrow. Talk about how Catholic Charities is getting involved.
Yeah, well, we pray, you know, for those individuals who are carrying that cross of Alzheimer's every day. But we also are concerned, obviously, about the caregivers. And one of the programs that we have at Catholic Charities helps carrying that cross for them. And that's our PACE program. PACE stands for Program for All Inclusive Care for the Elderly. And we have 2 centers where we provide caregivers a much needed break by providing day programs with meals and activities. And we also take care of the health care for these low income elderly citizens who are experiencing perhaps Alzheimer's and other memory loss. FACE works very closely with the Louisiana Alzheimer's Association to provide resources to these families. So, you know, we know it's a heavy cross to carry, and we hope that by what we do, we can help them carry and lighten the load.
How do people find more information about PACE New Orleans?
They can do it two ways. Obviously, they can call 504-835-0006. And they can also visit our website, which is www.pacegno.org. And we acknowledge...
All right, wonderful.
I can't forget Dr. Cruz, who was just recognized as one of our 2022 Healthcare Hero by City Business.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations. And, of course, we've had Dr. Cruz on our morning show before. Always looking forward to his interviews. Deacon Martin Gutierrez, Chief Operating Officer for Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, ccano.org is where you can go. I linked that in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. Deacon Martin, before we let you go, may we ask for a blessing as we close out your interview?
Heavenly Father, as we continue our day, we offer up the cross that we have to bear today. Help us carry it so we can give you glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Deacon Martin, for joining us.
Thank you, Dad. God bless you.
All right. Wonderful. So many things going on at Catholic Charities. So many wonderful opportunities as well. I will be posting the link to volunteer for all of anything that Catholic Charities brings to the Archdiocese of New Orleans, because it is so much. You can take a look at that and see what you would like to do as well. So looking forward to that. Also looking forward to Richard Meek. He has so many things going on in the Diocese of Baton Rouge as far as the Catholic commentator. We will be talking to Richard as we come back from the break, also our saint of the day. But stay with us, because Father Chris Decker and I will continue to be live from the Louisiana Priest Convention in New Orleans. We have Alicia and Damian in the Baton Rouge studio. So you guys, it's a great fun day. People are already starting to come in, kind of check out the different Dan Dawson's there trying to distract me, trying to check out different vendors and everything like that. Priests are coming in having coffee and breakfast, so that's what they're doing right now. So please continue to pray for our priests. Stay with us. It is 15 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 20th. Today we celebrate Saints Andrew Kim Taigon, Paul Chung Husong, and Companions. Christianity came slowly to Korea, beginning in the late 1500s. 200 years later, a small homegrown church had taken root. The son of Christian converts, Andrew Kim was born in 1821. Andrew studied for the priesthood in China. When he returned home, he helped missionaries enter the country by a water route that would elude the border patrol. The first native-born Korean priest, he was arrested, tortured, and finally beheaded near Seoul in 1846. His father, Ignatius Kim, had been martyred in 1839. Paul Chung, a married layman, lost several family members to martyrdom. He risked his life making repeated journeys to China in an effort to find priests who would come to Korea and serve the young church. He was martyred in 1839. When John Paul II visited Korea in 1984, he canonized the two of them, along with 98 other Koreans and three French missionaries who had been martyred between 1839 and 1867. The Pope called them the leaven that led to the splendid flowering of the church in Korea. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Good morning. It's 19 minutes after the hour on Wake Up. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio. We are joined this morning by our friend Richard Meek. He is the editor and general manager of the Catholic Commentator, the Catholic newspaper for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. Hope everyone is well.
Thank you. We hope so, too, with all our friends at the Catholic Commentator. Well, this is a great news-filled edition, as usual, of the Catholic Commentator. So you ready to jump right in?
Oh, you bet. Sure.
Okay. All right. So, and in the early 90s, a pediatrician from Earl K. Long requested some help for babies who were born prematurely or sickly, or babies who have passed away and needed burial garments. And there's a group that continues this beautiful ministry called Threads of Love. Tell us about that. That's your front page article, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And this is some ladies out of the Immaculate Conception in Denham Springs. And what they do is, it's a national ministry that's actually founded in 1993. There's a request through Earl K. Long Hospital. And what they do is they make really meet the needs of parents if we have premature babies, even unfortunately, mm-hmm. babies who have passed away. Mm-hmm. And so they get together once a month, and they'll get together and sew things such as burial grounds, or these little happy dolls. It's really pretty amazing because they'll take a standard old white tube sock and sew happy faces into it. Or they'll make a day gown, a blanket. And each person, and they make put together these packets. And so for a premature baby, a sick baby, they provide a care packet consisted of a crochet or a burial cap or a knitted cap, a day gown, a blanket, the love doll, a prayer for healing. And then, unfortunately, you know, not all babies make it.
Right.
And so they will actually provide the burial gown for the babies who pass away.
Wow.
And so it's a wonderful, wonderful ministry because that's exactly what it is.
Yes.
And then they get together and have a great time. They sew. And one lady said her house just looks like a warehouse of knitting supplies and so on. So.
Aww.
They think overall they've made like 85,000 packets.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And they've made gowns for babies, you know, like less than 3 pounds.
Oh my goodness.
And everything, the packets are distributed to Women's Hospital.
Okay.
And that's where they're brought to. And it's the parents at Women's Hospital that get the packets. So that's, you know, you talk about a ministry of love. My goodness.
Sure.
That's just amazing.
That's beautiful. And I'm sure that there's information in that article about if people have fabric that they can donate. Is that an option for them?
Oh, no, definitely. Yeah, okay. Yeah. There is a number there, and there's a lady to be called because they're always looking for donations, of course.
Yes.
But you think about it, you know, what they're doing, and you know the babies that it's going to, and parents in stressful situations that we can't even imagine.
Yes.
And just think about the heart. You know, their hearts and love that go into each piece.
Mm-hmm.
that's
a beautiful
incredible.
Ministry. Wow. Right here in our area, what a beautiful ministry. And I think those of us who have even sewn just a little bit of sewing have a ton of fabric in a closet somewhere. It's a great place to donate all those pieces of fabric.
And that was something I never tried, because I like to have my 10 fingers. And I think one of them would go by the wayside.
Right. Wow, what a wonderful article. Well, you know, we speak to Dr. Tina Holland from Franciscan University once a month and get updates. But you have an article on the update of St. Francis Hall at FRANU, which is very exciting for the university and for our community.
Oh, my God. Yes, it is. It's, what, a 79,000 square foot building.
Wow.
It's definitely coming out of the ground. The building itself, you know, from the outside, I think most of the outside work is done. And I think there's so many different tenants to this building. You could just go on and on about it. But the one thing is to simulate, to get a 19,000 square feet of simulation space.
Wow.
And so these... everybody, all disciplines that are being taught at FRANU, they're all going to come together and work on these very sophisticated mannequins. It's just amazing.
That's so cool.
They even have three different types of medical gases that's going to be pumped in that's used during anesthesia. And the mannequin's body can react to each type of that gas. Now, how they, you know, who came up with that idea? I mean, it developed that well beyond my level of
intelligence. I was going to say, somebody's super smart. Yes.
Yeah. And that's something. And also, I think, you know what, though, it's a beautiful building.
Mm-hmm.
But what it represents, I think, is even more important. It's the first step in FRANU's future. because they have 12 buildings scattered all over the place around the Lake Hospital, right? This is the first step of which is going to be a smaller campus, a smaller footprint of like probably 5 buildings. And it's just the vision of Dr. Holland that's has put this together, and this is how it's coming through. I mean, she is a treasure to this to the
Dodgers. She's amazing.
To Baton Rouge.
She really is. She is amazing. Mm-hmm. And at the heart of that building is their chapel, which we're looking forward to see that amazing San Damiano cross that I'm anxiously looking forward to seeing that in person. So what a wonderful article.
That cross is going to be huge. That's going to be the cornerstone of that building.
Yes, I can't wait to see it. That's fabulous. Well, right here in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, Catholic Charities is launching a new program in rural areas. Tell us about that.
This is exciting. So what it is, they're setting up Catholic Charities is now becoming a food pantry, believe it or not, which is going to be available for local people. They can walk in and get a box of food, which is great, you know, for the people in the city. But this is the most exciting part. In the rural areas, food can be a scarcity. We know that. It's been well documented. So they're starting out with the pilot program at St. Margaret in Albany, and then after the first of the year, they hope to really expand it to every deanery. So what they're going to do is a parish can call up and say, hey, we want to be a distribution site. So you may be a parish out in one of the outlying areas. And so once a month, so you get set up, once a month, Catholic Charities will come and bring the food. Each person, that's not per family, each person per family gets 10 pounds of food, a box of 10 pounds. So if you're a family of four, you're getting 40 pounds of food.
Oh my goodness.
And it's a lot of nutrition, high-value food. There's certain USDA regulations, a form that you fill out. But after that, it's great. And you need to bring a proof of an electricity bill to verify your address. But this is something... my hat's off to Catholic Charities because they saw a need. They actually saw a need during Hurricane Ida. That these areas are underserved. And they said, you know what, we're just gonna bring our game and go out to these areas.
Wow, that's awesome. Love that. Well, we are so fortunate in our area to have so many talented sacred artists and just so many talented artists in general in the state. Talk about a Morganza artist who is being honored.
Yes, the gentleman's name is Alan Crochet, and he was honored and recognized by the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge, which presented him with a Lifetime Award. And this is, he's 91 years old and a Morganza native. But when he was young, he was 4 years old when his mother gave him some pencils and a composition book to quiet him. So I can relate to that. And so at that point, he's 4 years old. He decided to sketch Jesus, Mary, St. Joseph, and the Apostles. Right there, that tells you, I think, everything you need to know. And later in life, he was a teacher at Livonia High School, teaching sixth grade. And through a series of events, he started using cypress and building just things from cypress wood. And some of the things he has done is just amazing. His home art studio, all these cypress etchings or whatever, depicts the vibrant Cajun culture of Louisiana. But more importantly, he's done so much work for St. Alphonsus Church in Greenwell Springs.
Really?
That's where he lives.
Okay.
And so his wood carvings include like the Last Supper, the other pieces as well. And he's personally, a lot of times after Mass, he'll present either Father Mike Moroni, the pastor, or one of the deacons, with just a small carving that he had done earlier during the week or whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
He even did the frames, caused the frames for the Stations of the Cross.
Wow. And so he's still actively carving.
Yes, he's so. Yeah, you can't slow down at 91, right?
That's right. Wow.
No, I slow down at 91.
That's awesome. Richard Meek, editor and general manager of the Catholic Commentator, the Catholic newspaper for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Let our listeners know where they can pick up their copy of the Commentator.
We're in more than 100 retail outlets around the diocese and back at churches, and they can visit news.diobr for the online version.
All right. Great. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Richard.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Check it out at news.diobr.org. Hey, stick around. Father Paul Gross, parochial vicar of St. Margaret, Queen of Scotland in Albany, talks about Eucharistic devotion. It's 1:30 on Wake Up.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome back to Wake Up. We're so glad you could join us. With us now, Father Chris Decker. You all know who he is, but for those who don't, he is pastor at St. Mary of False River. He is also a regular here and a mainstay at Catholic Community Radio, and we're just so glad to have him with us this morning before the events really get going in New Orleans. Father Chris, welcome back to Wake Up. This is live radio,
he's in a remote location.
Oh, well, thank you, Jesus.
Sometimes you just have to turn things off and turn them back on again.
That's right. That's technology for
you.
That's
right. There you go. So share with us some of the things that you would share with others if they want to come to know Christ in a closer relationship other than going to Mass on Sunday.
Actually, in addition to going to Mass on Sunday, I think that's important to note. The notion of the Eucharist comes from the Mass, right? Jesus Christ at the Last Supper gives us the Eucharist. He tells us that this is truly his body and his blood. And from the very beginning of when the Mass began to be celebrated by the apostles, there came to be the notion of reserving the Blessed Sacrament for those who were sick, those who were ill. And we have the tradition of the deacons beginning to bring the Blessed Sacrament to them, but also the notion that if this is truly the Lord, ought not we to keep watch with him? And so, as we see, the tradition of Eucharistic adoration, of having the Blessed Sacrament reserved in churches or in a chapel, it goes back to the very beginning of the church itself. And so I would say that if you're certainly a regular Mass goer, or if you, or maybe some of you can't make it to daily Mass, you can always go and keep a little bit of time with the Lord, make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. And that could be in a perpetual adoration chapel, which is where the Blessed Sacrament is exposed in a monstrance all day long. Or if you just go into your local parish church and sit with the Blessed Sacrament there, a little red sanctuary lamp burns to remind us that our Lord is present. And I mean, that's really one of the great graces, is that you don't have to do anything. You just simply get to be with the Lord, which I think is something that's very different than what our society tells us, you know, certainly about prayer, but also about being in a relationship with somebody.
Yeah, and I love the fact, I look at it as a sacrament of healing, too, because I always find that when I spend time with Christ one-on-one in adoration, I walk away in such peace, and anything that was bothering me seems to have gone away, at least for a little while. And
it's important to note that our
in Christ
our,
was always
our
the
don't
healer.
Always go
right?
away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, our problems don't always go away, but we become able to bear our cross with the Lord.
Exactly.
You know, I think sometimes we can make Eucharistic adoration out to be just something that's kind of magical, but rather it is an encounter with the Lord himself. And sometimes there are healings that take place, psychological, emotional, mental, physical healings that take place in the Blessed Sacrament, presence of the Blessed Sacrament. But more often than not, at least I have found in my own Eucharistic devotion, that sometimes when I'm asking for the healing, what I'm actually asking for is the ability to carry the cross with the Lord. And the Eucharist is the reminder to us that through crucifixion comes resurrection. When we receive Jesus, we receive our crucified Lord in the Eucharist, but we also receive our glorified and risen Lord too. And so, there is definitely the psychological advantage of meditating with the Lord. But then again, there are also innumerable graces that are being transferred to us as we sit in the presence of the Lord. I believe it was Blessed Carlo Acutis who said, whenever you sit in the presence of the Son, you get a sunburn. Whenever you sit in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, you receive the sun, you know, the Son of God. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, actually, 800 years ago, this past September 11th, they celebrated Eucharistic adoration, perpetual adoration, beginning in France. King Louis the VII asked to expose the Blessed Sacrament to celebrate victory over one of the great heresies of the church, the Albigensians. And so Eucharistic adoration began in the 12th and 13th century as a perpetual thing in France. And so we in Louisiana had that beautiful connection as well.
Yeah. We are in the midst of Eucharistic revival, and that's going on, I think, for 3 years through 2024. Where are you guys, as far as the convention is going, will you guys be discussing anything in regards to what will take place in some of the church parishes throughout our state as the months go on?
Yeah, as you know, there is always, whenever you go to a conference, there are always the official conference titles, but then it's usually at the coffee breaks and in the mess hall, right, that that a lot of these things get discussed. And I can bet you that we certainly will. The Louisiana Priest Convention title this year is A Sacred Calling, concentrating on what was the priestly year. But of course, that flows most beautifully into Eucharistic adoration as well. The priest is himself at the epicenter of Eucharistic devotion. And so I'm sure that some of those conversations will be happening in an unofficial capacity. But as you know, with our own diocese and with every diocese, certainly in our province and across the U.S., that is a big discussion right now of what are we doing as the church in the United States to really go deeper in and further on to Eucharistic devotion.
Father Chris, with a minute to go, what are some other Eucharistic devotions?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, certainly perpetual Eucharistic adoration, just keeping watch with the Lord. Oftentimes, you can read about the Eucharistic miracles. Again, Blessed Carlo Acutis collected all of those. And sometimes reading about the Eucharistic miracles where our Lord has made himself present can help bring us deeper into the presence of the Lord. And of course, don't forget to go to Mass on Sunday and Holy Days of Obligation. That is the way that we worship Christ in the Eucharist, is by receiving him in the state of grace.
Mm-hmm. And I always envision the Eucharistic processions. That always is impressive for me. We don't see that too often
anymore.
You'll
be seeing a lot of that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know about that. It's increasing, and you're probably going to see it a lot more, especially with Eucharistic revival.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, look, anything you want to share with us before you come back to the next break in regards to the Eucharist?
Yes, if you go to the Lord, simply look at him. He looks back at you, and it is good for your soul. Don't be afraid of your Eucharistic Adoration Chapel.
Exactly. Don't be afraid. And even if you just spend 5 minutes to begin with, I find that you get into the habit, you really learn to love Christ and want to stay even longer as time goes on. So thanks for being with us for this segment. Don't go far, because Father Chris Decker is going to be coming back with us. And when he does, we'll be talking a little bit more about some of the things going on at, I guess, the convention and some of the hot topics that we need to be looking forward to, if there is such a thing at a priestly convention. Can I say that?
Always.
Hot topics?
Always.
Okay.
It would be fun to be a little fly on the wall, like listening, you know, 400 priests in one room.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
I'm going to hear the coffee conversation and all that. I bet some wonderful, wonderful things happen. And I bet they have great discussions,
though. They do.
I'm curious.
I am just glad, because they haven't done this, I think, in a couple of years because of COVID.
That's
so it's good that they're all back and
true
in one place. So don't go far. Father Chris Decker is going to be back, and he's going to share some things that will be taking place at the convention in New Orleans. You're listening to Wake Up on Tuesday morning.
Past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in to Wake Up This Morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Father Chris Decker, live from the Louisiana Priest Convention in New Orleans. Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado back in the Baton Rouge studio. Father Chris and I have been sharing a cup of joe pretty much all morning as the priests have been coming in to start their day off with some breakfast, some coffee, and then the vendors are also coming in. And it's so good, because when was the last time that this has happened here?
Our Louisiana Louisiana Priest Convention happens usually every 4 years.
Wow. Okay,
and so it should have been last year. And so we rescheduled for this year, and it's off and running. Usually priests, if you feed them, they will come. And so they're working their way in to find breakfast this morning.
Yeah, well, it's so good because there's, I think this is the most vendors I have ever seen, mm-hmm. because this is not our first time here. And it's so good to see because there's so many different things as far as pilgrimages, booths, yeah. and vestments is where, this is where they get the vestments.
My parishioners were saying, they said, Father, you're going to this priest convention. What do you get to do? I said, well, we get to pray and shop.
Yeah.
And people say, well, what do priests shop for? And so there are all number of vestment vendors. And as you say, those who are pilgrimage companies, they always wonder where these priests get these things. And also some of the publishers, some of the big publishers, some of the Catholic digital applications. So things to kind of get priests of all sorts of different generations thinking about what we can do to enhance the faith life of our parish.
I think it's so great because there is a Catholic app company that's here. So mm-hmm. we're moving into that digital direction. But we also have Cross Catholic Outreaches here as well.
Food for the Poor is here.
We have them on Wake Up, Catholic mm-hmm. Cemeteries, Louisiana Right to Life, Lord Teach Me to Pray. So all of these people that we have heard on the morning show are all here together. And there's also statues, religious statues as well that you can find.
Sure.
And those are quite beautiful as well. So quite interesting. Let's talk about the day today because this is the big day with the breakout speakers.
Right. So Louisiana Priest Convention usually is very heavy, if you will, on clergy continuing education. So how does the priest actually in his ministry? The whole theme is actually about the priest's ministry as a sacred calling, and so how do we sustain that? And so all of the talks are really about forming that priestly identity. Mm. And so the breakout sessions are for that. So just to be very real about how we minister, for example, to pornography and addiction, those in our parishes who experience that, but then also priests who may struggle with addiction as well. Sometimes the priest will be so busy ministering that he will forget to be ministered to, you know? And so this is one of those opportunities for priests to learn about some of the good resources out there. So Father Sean Kilcaney, who actually spoke to the diocesan Baton Rouge Diocese priest, was very, very good. And so he's going to be speaking on that. We also will have another one on leadership, on, you know, dynamic leadership, what that looks like. A lot of CEOs will go to corporate retreats for these things, but the whole notion of the priest as a servant leader is also a very real thing. How to lead in a sense of not being the authoritarian, but rather to lead like a shepherd.
Yeah. I like this one. Mr. Dylan Corbett will be speaking as well, welcoming the stranger. I think that as Catholics, that's something that we need to continue to do, especially I saw an article, I think it was last week, and it was, I think it was published by AP, but it said that the Christian religion denomination will be a minority, I think, within the next 70
years. Yeah, it's always interesting when those forecasts come out, because there's probably some truth to it, but... sometimes you kind of the box squawks a little loud, but still claiming our Christian identity is central to who we are. I think sometimes in the modern world we forget that the mandate was to go out to teach and to baptize in the name of the Trinity.
Right.
And sometimes we forget that evangelical call. And so Dylan Corbett, who's the executive director of the Hope Border Institute, is going to be talking about some of the Catholic social teaching that is related to the U.S.-Mexico border. Because as you know as well as I do, one of the things that is sustaining our Catholic identity in the United States are the presence of Hispanic Catholics who are in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how they find themselves here, to be able to apply Catholic social teaching in such a way where we can welcome the stranger is an important thing to look at and to study, because a lot of priests don't know how to proceed.
Oh, quite interesting. So how important is it for priests to gather like Alicia said earlier, 400 priests, that is a lot to comprehend in one room.
That's true.
And actually quite exciting. So how important is it for priests to gather and have that fraternity for these days?
Very important. As you know, I mean, with priestly identity, sometimes it can get kind of lonely in a parish by yourself. You know, you have your parishioners, you have your ministry to keep you going. But having camaraderie with other priests is very, very important, because we oftentimes forget that we as priests don't just minister as lone wolves, right? We minister together. Mm-hmm. And as one body of priests, we are the extension of Christ's hands and feet. We are the extension of his service in the sacraments that we are called to offer. And it gives you a little bit of perspective, right? To be able to be with other brother priests, in our case, from the entire province of Louisiana. That's the seven dioceses that make up the Archdiocese of New Orleans as a province. So we're one of those. In Baton Rouge, certainly Home of Thibodeau priests we see. We have our New Orleans priests as well. And then Lafayette, Alexandria, and Shreveport.
Yep, I saw the signs. And I'm watching the different priests come in through the door to go to breakfast right now.
They're smelling their way to the breakfast hall.
It's so interesting, because when we've done this in the past, we've always been kind of right by the breakfast table. So we've been seeing the priests come in. And you can see who's a morning person and who isn't a morning person. And it's quite interesting.
I'm a morning person by appointment only.
Yeah. You were here earlier with your cup of coffee. And you also have Mass later this evening with Archbishop Emond at Immaculate Conception Church right there off of Barone Street in New Orleans.
Right.
So what can we do as lay people for these? Because you have today and then you have tomorrow.
Yep.
You'll be here. What can we do as listeners to help?
To all of you, I would say, please continue to pray for your priests. It's a long, hard road some days, you know, and just to be honest about all of us love our vocation, but we need to be sustained by your prayer. And I think that is so important, that your prayers do go to the heart of God. And to pray for your priests, that they be steadfast, to pray for your priests, that they have the desire themselves to pray. Sometimes we just assume that priests are men of prayer. Sometimes in my own prayer life, I know that the reason that I'm showing up for prayer, whether it's Mass or just the celebrating the Liturgy of the Hours, is because I know that I must do this for my people.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, I know I got to get the kid to school, you know. And so some mornings, all I'm doing, I'm just making the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but there's not a whole lot of thought process going into it, you know. So you praying for your priests that they are ready, able, and willing for the movement of the Holy Spirit in their life is so important. And then also just continue to pray for our stick-to-itiveness, you know, to keep showing up. Because sometimes, you know, like being a parent, very much like being a father, the temptation can be to check out even if you're there, you know? And so that's what we're all about, is pray for your priest to be present to the Lord so he can be present to you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Father Chris Stecker, for joining us, praying for you as you go out. You have a long day today. It looks like a lot of great
sessions. A lot of good stuff.
As well. And then, of course, ending tomorrow around lunchtime. Before we let you go, Father Chris, may we ask you for a priestly blessing?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, we thank you for this day, for the presence of the priests in your church. We ask that you continue to make them steadfast in their ministry. Bless all of those who travel, all of those who are carrying the cross today in some special way. Lord, may you be near them, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you guys so much for being with us today on Wake Up. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time for day two at the Louisiana Priest Convention. Johnny Aber also joins us with his gospel reflection. Dr. Gerard Verscheren talks about his new book, Faith That Makes You Think. Deacon Mike Revolt tells us his vocation story as to the diaconate in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and so much more. It's getting busier now as people are waking up and getting to the convention. Have a wonderful Tuesday. Please continue to pray for your priests. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.